Let us pray. Holy and loving God, as we begin our journey again, may these words serve to give us hope, but also challenge us by showing us the way that we should go, the true voices that we should listen to. Help us, Lord, to hear them as the truth, to believe them, and to follow them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, I heard a little story about a salt doll, a little doll made out of salt. Now, this salt doll journeyed for thousands of miles over land until it finally came to the sea. Now, it had never seen the sea, and it was fascinated by this strange moving mass that it saw before that stretched on forever. And the little salt doll was amazed and said, "Who are you?" And the sea smilingly replied, "If you want to know, come in and see." So the doll waded in. And the further it walked into the sea, the more it dissolved until there was only a little left of it. And before that last little bit was dissolved, the doll exclaimed in wonder, "Now I know who I am." Today, as we begin our Lenten journey on this first Sunday of Lent, or in Lent, excuse me, I would like for us to take some time looking at the temptation to deny our true selves based on the interpretations of others or even our own false interpretations of ourselves. And I want to do that by looking at the question, who or what do we allow to determine who we are, to determine our identity? Now, let's take a look at temptation. For temptation to work, it's got to have a way to get into us. It's got to have a hook. A hook that grabs us and reels us in, so to speak. And the hook for Jesus in our passage today, I hope you caught it because I tried to give it a little extra emphasis, is that little tiny word, if. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, if Jesus had done that, he would have allowed his identity to be determined by the devil. Because the devil was saying, "Hey, Son of God can turn these stones into bread. So if you are, then do this, and I'll believe you're the Son of God." Those two letters, IF, form a small word, but a big and powerful hook. Now, Jesus is able to not take in that hook because he knows who he is. He doesn't have to prove it to anyone, not even the devil, not even himself. And within that, or because of that, he finds freedom. Freedom that will allow him even to go on to the cross. Freedom to even say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He is clear in his own mind about the fact that God loves him, no matter where he is or what condition he is in. And that's enough. One minister wrote concerning this, "The test for Jesus and for all of us was whether being found in human form, he could tolerate that reality. He could live with it and be happy with it. Can we let God be God and say yes wholeheartedly to the human condition? Jesus was content to be with the rest of us, a child of God. Jesus was content to be, to state what he believed, to stand in the breach if necessary, because he knew who he was, he knew what he believed, he knew what he was about. And he didn't take on what others thought he should be, even though they tried with a vengeance. Judas tried to force Jesus when he went to the priest and said, I'll turn him over to you. He tried to force Jesus into being the Messiah that he and all of the other zealots believed the Messiah would be, or what the Messiah would do. Make Rome bow and cure the corruption in the temple. Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. That's not my idea of what a Messiah is. And he goes to the cross. I have my own idea. Are we content to be, or do we need others to interpret who we are? Do we allow others, the society, to tell us who or what we are? Do we have to keep proving not only to others, but to ourselves who we are? Now, I would imagine most of us don't even care, most of us are sick of it by now, but I can't let it go. But we had the perfect idea of someone or something tempting you to be something different in the example of Tiger Woods this week. Here was a guy who had it all. Fame, money, success, good looks. And he heard this, if you have all of this stuff, then you don't need to abide by the rules. You can do what you want. And he did. And he fell greatly. He swallowed that hook. That hook that said, because of who you are, you can do anything you want. You can live by your own rules. Scott Peck, the author of the book, The Road Less Traveled, wrote another book, A World Waiting to Be Reborn. And he talks about the first temptation of turning stones into bread. And he talks about it in terms of security. Security that we have not lost our chosen status as God's children. People who are not secure, who feel tempted, are those who need to keep proving that they are still chosen. If I'm chosen then, or if I'm one of the chosen then, they keep playing into that if. They constantly need to convince themselves. It's an issue of the use and abuse of power. Quite simply, if we feel secure in ourselves, we gain a certain amount of authentic power. We don't need to go looking for it. Those who are insecure try to create their identity. Their power is an attempt to feel secure, and thus they abuse it. And history is replete with it. Not just Tiger Woods, but you can go back and look at all kinds of people who fell and see how they bought that if. They were not comfortable with their human condition. They were not comfortable with just being a child of God and tried to be something they weren't. In his book, The Source, James Michener weaves a wonderful novel about the excavation of a tell in Israel. Tell's a mound. And it tells the history from the beginning of humanity of the town that's being excavated. And while it is a novel, anyone who has read Michener knows that he does an incredible amount of research for his books. So there's a lot of fiction that is very credible or highly possible. And in this book, as the village of Machor evolves through the ages, it's occupied often by people of several religious groups, which is not unusual because that area, Israel, was always a a lot of religious groups came together there, and they were constantly fighting. And then almost always in this story, there was the one religious group that felt that they were the chosen ones and asserted that by ruling and eventually destroying or massacring the others. They felt their religious identity was threatened by the presence of other religions. And you can imagine it. That's buying that hook if. If our faith is the true faith, then these other religions shouldn't exist. And I think that's what we also heard in Deuteronomy today. Deuteronomy is talking about identity as God's people by going back and recognizing how they had been aliens in Egypt. Now they had to live with the aliens in their midst. In verse 11, "Then you together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you shall celebrate with all your bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house." So those people are just as blessed. God has given them a bounty. God loves them. There's no if there. We find this use of this if played out through the world all over the place today. Nations and relationships. People feel threatened by the perceptions of others or by perhaps themselves or something they do, and they lash back at the others. And it can be verbal abuse or outright physical abuse. If you loved me, you would do this. For a number of years now, our nation, our church, our denomination has been in this dialogue about sexuality. And I remember one time, some time ago, listening to a dialogue in which a gay man spoke of how the public perceptions of gay people created such an emotional problem for gays, whom the public doesn't even know that they're gay. I mean, these are people that we work next to day in and day out that we don't know that didn't know that they were. But even then, they still feel that it created emotional problems for them. They can't even love themselves because of the public perception of how awful gay is. In other words, it's saying, if you are a good person, you would not be this way. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a bad person. They bought into that perception of society. And it's only when they can begin to find a group that, began to find a group that accepted them, that they could get away from that if, that they began to realize, hey, I'm okay. And they could feel good about themselves. And then there are those scripts that we get from when we're growing up. The ones that our moms or dads or other family members gave to us. And I've shared this with you times before. Mine was bringing home a work report card or doing something, and my father looking at it and saying, "Good, Tom, but you can do better. Good, but you can do better." The hook, even though it wasn't said, the hook was implied. If you are a good son, if you are a good student, you will do better. And as a child, I swallowed that hook, line, and sinker. And it's taken me a number of years to get over it. Because the problem was then, I was never good enough. In my father's perception and in my own perception. Oh, I only got a B, I didn't get an A. I'm not good enough. Thus, my ifs became what others determined what was right for me, not what I thought was right for myself. The temptation is to swallow the if and let that define who we should be. And Jesus shows us a better way. The better way is to say, hey, I'm God's child. I know that. And I'm going to live that way. That's the better way. And that's all I need to be. God's child. That's who and what gives us our identity. And stop there. We don't need better grades. We don't need to be of a particular whatever. We don't need more money. We don't need to work harder. We don't fill in the blank. What is your if that you don't need? What's the hook you don't need? We are God's children. God feeds us bread. That's why that basket's on the table. God feeds us. We don't need to create it. Well, actually, we need to make it. But God gives us all the stuff to make it. So what I want you to hear today, you are a child of God. You don't need anything else. No ifs, ands, or buts. Amen.